Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the absence we've had for the week. Got moved into a new house, moving stuff in, just got really busy. Not that there was, unfortunately, a ton to talk about the Southern Miss game. We'll probably recap it real quick here to start with. But before we get there, Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Other than the Southern Miss loss, been an interesting last couple of weeks in college football, for sure. And Conference USA is no exception. Like Drew said, had a little bit of an absence. Drew, you just had to go and buy a house and, you know, have a life, all that. God almighty. A little bit of an absence. But we're back rolling. Southern Miss game. Disappointing for sure. Not at all the result that we wanted. Not at all the performance that we wanted. That was the difference in, you know, this game and the Georgia Southern game. The Georgia Southern game, I thought we played pretty well and probably should have won that game. Southern Miss game, good Lord, the wheels just fell off. Offense didn't do the defense any favors. Defense was on the field most of the game. It's just hard to stop a talented quarterback like Braylon Braxton. And we knew that going into this game, that this was not your typical Southern Miss that we're used to, you know, winning 3-4 games a year. This is pretty much Marshall from last year, which was very talented. Of course, won the Sun Belt. And like I said, had a very talented quarterback in Braylon Braxton, but also talented receivers, running backs. Running backs didn't just run all over us, I don't think. I say that they had 2 touchdowns, but they also had very good field position to be able to run the ball as well. Just overall, not the performance. We thought, you know, after the Murray State game, of course, Murray State was what it was. It was a just get through it with as little injury as possible, stay healthy, run the score up, and get out of there. But also to, you know, kind of figure out the things that we did wrong, you know, figure out and adjust the things that we did wrong against Southern or Georgia Southern, and use that game to adjust, make corrections, get better. And I thought we did against Murray State. Fortunately, that did not transition over into this game. Ball security was a problem. Gavin Wimsatt, I don't know what's happened to him. I didn't think he was, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner or anything, but it just, well, the guy got benched and for good reason, and brought in Caden Creel, who, you know, Drew, I know you're really high on. And I thought for, you know, having a, you know, being thrown in the middle of a, being thrown in the middle of the game, and really getting his first, I know he played a little bit at the end of the Murray game, but getting his first true, quarterbacking experience, thought he did about as well as he could ask him. 23 carries for 161 yards and a touchdown. You know, that's the big number. The guy's a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal runner. And I think that's why, you know, Charles Kelly and company want him on the field as much as possible, because he is a tremendous athlete. he is a tremendous athlete. And for the most part, we get good production with him when he's on the field. This is the first time that he's really had to throw the ball. Any other time he's been in the game, it's been on, you know, the little bubble screens to him and taken off up the field. It's been, you know, handed it to him out of the backfield at a running back position. So this is the first time that we really and truly got to see his arm. And he had the one touchdown pass to Rex Steiner, which was a, you know, great play by Rex Steiner to get wide open in the short field. Even that one was a little off. He kind of had to jump to make it. But I thought what I was able to, and that's another thing, you know, forgive me, I wasn't able to watch the entirety of the game. I was away on a trip, but what I was able to watch of him and see, I thought that he kind of, I don't want to say he got antsy, but he just, or nervous, but he, I thought he held on to the ball a little bit too long and he tried to force too much. And the, again, the pick six wasn't his fault. Like you said, Drew, that was just kind of a freak play, but I just, you know, he looked a little bit unsure of himself, and that's going to happen. I mean, the kid's a redshirt freshman being thrown into, you know, like I said, against a, in the middle of a game down, what were we, three scores, or three scores, on the road against a good team. I mean, he's going to have the yips. He's going to have these, different adversities to overcome. And I think he will as he progresses, but, you know, it's just, there was just a lot happening in this game. Not a whole lot of it for the good, other than Cam Cook. Cam Cook continues to be just a phenomenal running back. As a matter of fact, he was added to the, Doak Walker Award, watch list this week. And I haven't checked the rushing yard numbers, but he is still in the top five, isn't he, in rushing yards?
He was before the Southern Miss week. I know he was under 100 last week, so I'd have to kind of go back and look. But he's certainly top 10 in the country still. But yeah, like you said, he is the bright spot in the right now, the leader of the offense and pretty much every. I mean, they even threw him the ball a good bit. They're just trying to scheme him open. He is sixth, sixth in the country in rushing. But yeah, just trying to scheme him open to get him into running lanes. Because Southern Miss's run defense did do a pretty decent job against him for the most part. He still had a good day all told, but that was probably the best we've seen a defense. Certainly was the best we've seen a defense kind of play against Cam Cook. But as far as the Caden Creel part goes, I was impressed with what he could do. He is, like Brooke said, a really good athlete, a very, very talented runner. I think better than what Wimsatt has shown. And I know Wimsatt's a good runner as well, but Caden Creel seemed to be more of a, let's see, I want to say this, more of a willing runner. I think there's been times that Wimsatt doesn't seem to really want to run on a lot of those read option plays. And Creel was almost kind of what we saw with Tyler Huff last year, to where Creel really did want to run the football, and that's when the offense seemed to move it against Southern Miss, because there is so much attention placed on Cam Cook. And he ran it at one point. It was about three or four or five times in a row, and he looked exhausted. But he did play really well in the second quarter, in the second half when he was in. I know he had the fumble there before halftime that to be honest, probably derailed Jack State's chances of coming back and maybe winning the football game. But aside from that fumble and then the pick six at the very end of the game, he played really well in between those two plays, I thought. So we'll see who trots out there first against Sam Houston this week on Thursday night. But I really, really, really expect to see number 12 be the starter. You know, Wimsatt looked good against Georgia Southern for a lot of the game. You know, Murray, we didn't learn a whole lot. I don't think he was, you know, had a couple of the dud drives to start against Murray State, but then the offense moved the ball well after that. And then obviously here against Southern Miss, they just couldn't ever get anything going. And really, you look at what Jack takes on the road, and we'll talk about this here in just a second. We speak about Sam Houston and what to expect from JSU. On the road, they've looked pathetic. And really, it's been the first quarter. The first quarter against Southern Miss was not a good one. The first quarter against Georgia Southern was a disaster. They would have won that game by probably 10 or 12 or 14 points had they even played a bad third or bad first quarter. But it was a disaster in the first quarter against Georgia Southern. So, you know, I think Caden Creel gives you the best chance to move the ball and score, and I think he's going to see the field. You know, I know we're kind of all at the end of that game against Southern Miss, or even at halftime, we all kind of begging to see Jack Moran. But if you didn't see him there, I don't think you're going to see him in big spots this year. You know, maybe if they're blowing someone out at the end of the year, you may see him get a drive or two. But I don't think that's going to be, unfortunately, at least this year, he's not going to be leading the offense for any meaningful snaps. Now, next year, that's going to be likely a very different story. But for me, Caden Creel's got the keys to the offense. I'm sure we'll see Gabe Glover back to return punts. But can't imagine that Caden Creel would be the starting quarterback and the punt returner, which if he is, someone's got to tell me the last time somebody did that job, starting quarterback and punt returner. I mean, I'm sure it happened in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when we didn't have 80 whatever man rosters we do now. But TV never said it, but like, hey, Jack State's quarterback is returning punts. I don't know, like, if I was a broadcaster, that's something I would say, I think. And say, hey, that's weird. Let's talk about that. They didn't do that, which is fine. It's their prerogative. But I don't imagine we see Caden Creel returning many more punts if he's going to be the quarterback, which I think he will be. I'm sure we'll see Wimsatt in some form or fashion throughout the year. But, you know, we saw kind of the same thing last year to where they struggled in the first part of the year. They made a quarterback adjustment, and then they had a really, really good year. Now, it's pretty evident, I think, this team's not quite as strong as last year's, and there's nothing saying they can't obviously get better and get to that point. They are still 1-0 in conference. We're going to say that a few times as well. Like, everything they want to accomplish is still in front of them. They've got tough games in conference. I know the Sam Houston game coming up this week is not really one of those, but they get Delaware and, of course, Western. FIU's look good at times and bad at times. Look really bad this weekend against a UConn team that Delaware beat. So there are still some tough games in conference left, but everything they want to accomplish is ahead of them. After this week, they're going to get to 3-3. There's no reason to think they're not going to win three more games and go to a bowl game, right? They're, you know, going to beat UTEP. There's a good chance to beat FIU. Kennesaw is much improved. That's a team that we should still handle. And then obviously you've got Delaware and Western Kentucky that you know could go either way there. So there's no reason to think that they're not going to rattle off four more wins. They're going to get a win this week for sure against Sam Houston and go from there. But for me, as far as a quarterback battle goes, Caden Creel did enough for me to put him in the starting slot and see what he can do. Now, that's not saying we can't go back to Wimsatt or see if Cunningham, if we've seen Cunningham for one drive against Murray State, it was two handoffs and a incomplete pass on a play that the receiver ran the wrong route or he threw the wrong ball because the ball did not go in the direction of a receiver. So we have not seen Cunningham at all, really. So and I'm sure there's reason for that. He's probably the third option. I think that much is extremely obvious. But I think Creel's going to be the guy, at least against Sam Houston. This is a team that, and honestly, we can kind of get into Sam Houston stuff real quick because we're not going to spend a whole lot of time with it just because Sam Houston has really, really looked bad. I mean, you know, New Mexico State has been a bottom three team in this conference every year except the first one for JSU. I know this is year three, so that statement sounds weird, but they are historically not a good team. They did have the good year when JSU first moved up in 2023, but they were really bad last year. They're not supposed to be any good this year, and they beat Sam Houston by like 27 points. So if Jack State doesn't go down to Houston and really win by, you know, I'm going to say 27 or more points, I think you start to worry. I have no real doubts they're going to go beat Sam Houston. They are a much better team than what the Bearcats are. They sit at 0-5, but you know, if they go down and win by 10 or 12 or 14, you're like, man, that's an 0-5 team that hung with us. I think you expect or really want to see your team this week go to Texas and win by 28, 35, 42. Like, this should be a blowout game for JSU. And if it's not that way, I think you really, I don't want to say you're going to panic at that point, but I think you really have to go back and look at, okay, we're not nearly as strong as we thought we were. Yeah, after the Liberty game, we're like, okay, we haven't missed a beat, new coaching staff, new players, let's go win the conference again. And then, you know, we get a couple of Sunbelt games after that, and we're like, ooh, maybe not. And the biggest part of that is they have played two really, really, really bad first quarters against Sunbelt teams. Both of those were on the road. If they play a good first, like that, for me, that's the game plan. Like, go win the first quarter against Sam Houston. If it's 10-0, 7-0, 14-21, I don't care what it looks like. Just win the first quarter. We, you know, fumble. The first play we had the ball against Southern Miss, we fumble. And they recover it, score a touchdown three plays later. That's not helping out your defense. And that looks a whole lot like what we saw against Georgia Southern when we let them return, you know, three kickoffs the 50-yard line or into the end zone, whatever it was. Like, if they go win the first quarter and they show up ready to play, they're going to win a football game. They would have done it against Georgia Southern, and they would have had a shot to beat Southern Miss if they would have done that. And they spotted Southern Miss 14 points for the most part. So, you know, for me, hey, we could sit here and go through the reference page for Sam Houston, their, you know, bottom 100, or excuse me, bottom 20 in a lot of stats. But for me, you know, they're a better team than Sam Houston. Go play a good first quarter, impose your will in the first half, and take a lead to the locker room. It can be a lead of 10 or 20 or whatever, but these slow starts on the road are getting old, if you guys can't tell. And Coach Kelly has made good halftime adjustments this year. I don't think we saw the same improvement in production against Southern Miss, but the offense did get better in the second half. The defense, I think, by that point was exhausted, and I think Southern Miss probably made a good adjustment as well in the locker room to kind of figure out how to move the ball. You know, I know they scored 21 points in the first half, but, you know, seven of those were at the very end after the Creel fumble, and then the other, you know, the first seven they scored were after the Wimsatt fumble. So the defense really only gave up 7 points in that first half, when they got to start Southern Miss back in their own territory where they were supposed to. It's when Southern Miss started on the 20-yard line that they converted those two touchdowns. So I think the game plan against Sam Houston is go win the first quarter, go win the second quarter, and then go to the locker room with a good lead, feel good about yourself, finish the game off. And like we said, we should win by 28, 35, or 42 points, get on the bus and prepare for a good Delaware team to come to town, because the Blue Hens are a really good team. They played great against Western this week. I know they got beat by 3, but they had chances to win that game. Just didn't go their way at the end. So Delaware is going to be tough, tough game at home. Good news, like Brooke said earlier, it is at home, so we're happy for that. But, you know, the off week came at a good time for JSU after those, you know, couple of tough Sun Belt losses with the Murray State game in the middle. I think this is a really good team to have to go on the road, figure out what issues you're having on the road in the first quarter, correct those, and you're going to win, like we said, hopefully by 28 or 35 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of what we were talking about before we started recording. I think the best way to look at the Sam Houston game, like you said, there's no need to break down the analytics and stat sheets and everything. This is a very bad football team that we ought to be able to go in, take care of business, and come home, get ready for Delaware. But I think we ought to look at this game similar to how we did the Murray game, or at least how we perceived it, to like come in, take care of business with as little bit of injuries as humanly possible, and go home. But also to make the adjustments that we had to, you know, with the off week, actually put them on the playing field. You know, improve the pass rush. For the love of God, fix defending crossing routes and slants, because they have killed us all year. Whether it's the Liberty game that we won, Georgia Southern ate us up. Even Murray State had success moving the ball downfield on us on those crossing routes and just picking apart the linebackers and the short safeties alive. So for the love of God, can we fix that? You can ask Drew. That's been my biggest gripe with this defense. The Georgia Southern game, we had piss poor tackling it, but that I think continually got better once we were able to get within the vicinity of a ball carrier and wrap them up. But just everything over the middle just eating us apart on defense. Like you said, it fully, you know, we do expect it to be Caden Creel going out there to start the game at least. Let him get more and more comfortable with, you know, playing, you know, more than just, you know, three or four snaps like he was previously used to before the Southern Miss game. You know, I know he had the drive two against Murray, but, you know, get him more comfortable with actually playing quarterback, giving him time to go through his progressions, find open receivers, don't try and force too many, don't try and force too much, and continue to develop that chemistry with offensive line and the receivers. Taking things here and there that, you know, continue to bug us and just keep improving on them. And it starts, like you said, Drew, with the first quarter. We can't keep, because we still got three really good, really good teams left on our schedule that we cannot afford to have slow starts against and let them go up, 14-0 like Georgia Southern did, or 21-7, whatever, and dig ourselves in a hole and we're having to fight back the entire game. We can't afford to do that. So we have to come into the locker room in the first quarter, guns a-blazing, and establish ourselves early, and put ourselves in a better position to where we control the game. And this is certainly the game to do it against Sam Houston. Looking at our schedule, I think we benefit from having a rather light conference schedule. And I know Conference USA is by no means, the golden child of the group of five. It's not the AAC or Sun Belt or whatever, but we have these gaps in our schedule, or these games on our schedule where I think they line up pretty good with the next tough opponent. So we've got the Sam Houston game to correct things, get better quarter by quarter, and get ready for Delaware, because Delaware's very good. They're going to give us everything we got, or everything they got, after coming in to a really hot start to their FBS tenure. Play that game, and then the next two we've got Middle and UTEP. Middle and UTEP are not very good. I know they're both on the road, but Middle and UTEP not very good. Use those games to do the same thing. Keep correcting. Keep getting better. And we got Kennesaw. Kennesaw's a lot better. They're not the pushover that they were last year, by any means. FIU, I tried to hype up FIU as much as I could, but the shine is slowly wearing off on them. I still think Kewan Jenkins is a very talented quarterback, but they just got absolutely dismantled by UConn. I know it was on the road, but just dismantled by UConn this past week. But use that game to kind of help get ready for Western, which is going to be arguably the toughest game left on our schedule. Thank God it's the last one. Toughest game and arguably the best team in the conference. So it's just, you hear it all the time. It's coach speak. Take it week by week. But I mean, that's kind of what we have to do. And like you said, Drew, we're 1-0 in conference. That's the most important thing to Jack State football right now. We are 1-0 in conference. Everything that, we want to accomplish from that standpoint is still ahead of us. We're setting ourselves up to, still have a really good year. I know that Southern Miss loss was, it was kind of a gut punch, but still, at least it was non-conference. Everything's still ahead of us. We can still make the conference championship game. May need a little help from La Tech. We'll see. Somebody else beating La Tech or Western. We'll see. But still make the conference championship game. Still get a good bowl game. I think the last projections I saw, most of them had us going to either Montgomery or Mobile. One or two had us going back to New Orleans, which obviously that would be my preferred choice. Just anywhere but Montgomery. I do not ever want to step foot in the Crampton Bowl again. Like I said, just taking it week by week, and in our case, really quarter by quarter, and getting better each snap, each play, each quarter, each drive. I think we're going to be fine. I really do. I got full faith in Coach Kelly. But we gotta keep improving. Bottom line.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not by all means panicked. Panic button has not been pushed on my end at all. We said before the year started that the out-of-conference schedule was going to be tough for JSU. Like I said, you get two Sun Belt games on the road, and then the first game of the year on the road at UCF. Three out of your four out-of-conference are on the road, and the only home game was Murray State. So It was a tough out of conference schedule to start. It's just a shame that it went a lot like last year's out of conference schedule, to where, you know, not a whole lot of wins there to show for what you want to do. But like Brooke said, this is unfortunately, or fortunately maybe, a pretty weak conference. And there are extremely winnable games left on the schedule. This week is the most winnable game on the schedule. Middle's not very good. UTEP's not very good. FIU does not look very good. And then, you know, Kennesaw, again, is much improved. But that, still think that's a game JSU should win. I mean, they beat Arkansas State by 7. Arkansas State's not very good either. And that was a home game there for Kennesaw. So, I like Jack State's odds to win, like you said, 7 or 8 games still. The Delaware game's going to be tough. The Western game's going to be tough. And then, you know, if they are able to win 1 or 2 of those and make the conference title game again, they're going to get, it seems like, a very tough Louisiana Tech team. Well, I think Louisiana Tech is the safe. If you take every team in the FBS, I think they're the safest team to say that team's going to play for their conference's championship is Louisiana Tech. And all of football, SEC, it doesn't matter. You look at Louisiana Tech, that team's going to be there for the conference championship. I just think they're head and shoulders right now better than everybody else in the conference. To include JSU, but it's a, like Brooke said, this team needs to take their games drive by drive, play by play, and quarter by quarter, and see where that lands you. But for the Southern Miss, or excuse me, for the Sam Houston prep, all I'm looking to see is, you know, I think like Brooke said, we're going to see Caden Creel, and how do they come out of the gates in that game, being a road game, they've looked, like we said already, bad few times. If they can start hot, they should win that game by multiple scores. Before we get out of here, we have a 4-game slate this week for the conference. A lot of fun matchups on here. Wednesday, game that starts at 6:30 on ESPN2, Missouri State and Middle Tennessee. And then also on Wednesday, we have Liberty and UTEP. Both of those teams are at 1-4. Liberty is a 1.5-point favorite on the road against UTEP. So that'll be, find out where Liberty actually is. Old Dominion's not a bad football team, so that loss they had against Old Dominion is somewhat understandable, especially with a Basco injury. But UTEP's a team that has not looked good, of course, all year at 1-4. If Liberty drops that one, it is Lynchburg may burn down, and then Chadwell starts 1-5 with that UTEP loss. I know he's done some good things in very short time at Liberty, but they were unhappy with him last year, and a 1-5 start this year, and I think that seat starts to get warm. But that's neither here nor there. And then Louisiana Tech on the road against Kennesaw. They are a 7.5-point favorite, and we'll see how real Kennesaw actually is. We know how good, or at least we have an idea of how good La Tech is. But again, Kennesaw's, you know, sitting at 3-2, those wins are against Merrimack, Arkansas State, and Middle, and they have won 3 in a row. So when we said that, congrats to Kennesaw. 3 in a row is good. But those 3 teams they beat have not been very good. If they can hang with Louisiana Tech for all 4 quarters, I'll kind of start to believe in Kennesaw maybe a little bit more. Than, of course, the last game is the JSU and Sam Houston game. 7 o'clock, CBS Sports Network for those that are not going to go down to Houston, Texas. Again, this game not in Huntsville. Sam Houston's playing all of their home games in Houston at a soccer stadium that somebody plays soccer in. I don't know. I don't watch soccer. I don't care. That's where Jack State Dynamo. Plays. That's where.
Or Dynamo. That's,
there you go. Brooks knows. But that's where Jack State will be. That's where my TV will be tuned to. We're not going to make the trip to Houston, unfortunately. But that's kind of your conference slate for the week. Midweek starts, so, you know, Wednesday, Thursday this week. They get Delaware on Wednesday next week on the 15th of October. So Jack State has had a lot of success in these midweek matchups the last 2 years, and this is a time of the year where we've seen them get hot the last couple of years and play really well, and I expect to see a lot of the same stuff this year, especially this week against a, like you've already said a few times, a really bad Bearcat team. So beyond that, like I said, we don't, you know, not a terribly long episode, but there's not a lot to get into with Sam Houston. They are just really bad. It's kind of akin to the Murray State preview. Like, I'm not going to, you know, we don't need to do specific things to beat Murray State. We don't need to do specific things to beat Sam Houston. I just want us to show up and play good in the first quarter. And that's really about it. And obviously, I want to see Caden Creel play four quarters at quarterback and see what he can do. So I'll let Brooks finish us up here and get out of here. Again, sorry for the silence for the week on Twitter and with the podcast. But I think we got all of our lives situated here in the new house, and we'll be back to our normal schedule for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Quick thoughts on the conference slate. I think we ought to take care of business against Sam Houston, and I think Missouri State ought to take care of business against Middle, even though that game's on the road. I think just Middle Tennessee's just not very good, similar to the bottom half of this conference, really. I'm very interested to see, though, how Liberty responds. Like you said, I know the Vasco injury, it was big, but I think he was a great quarterback to begin with. I've been saying that all year. But they should take care of business against UTEP. I think this game, though, we really find out, what the Kennesaw Louisiana Tech game. I think we really find out what they're made of. It's at home. They're riding a lot of momentum. Probably should be 4-1. Should beat Wake Forest on the road to open the year. And then the one loss, only other loss they have was Indiana. Indiana's just really good. But also, can Louisiana Tech continue to keep it rolling, keep that consistency, and continue to be, one of the two favorites in the conference as of right now. I think we're going to learn a lot about those two teams in that game, and I'm going to be, I'm going to be flipping back and forth between those two because I really want to see, I really want to see what they're made of, particularly Kennesaw, because we do have to play them this year instead of La Tech. Final thoughts. Like Drew said, there's not a lot to break down with this game. I just want to see us play a complete game. Caden Creel have a really good game, or have a confident game in his first likely start at quarterback. And we keep saying this, he's liable to. We watched the press conference earlier, and Kelly really never said, "Yeah, Creel starting. Yeah, Wimsatt starting." But they're going to be in competition. I don't expect us to find anything out until probably kickoff. But if it is Caden Creel, I'm excited to see his first. I'm excited to see his first start and see what he can do with a full game at quarterback under his belt. If it is Wimsatt, I want to see him improve and get more confident in the passing game. Just play smart. Hold on to the ball. Don't be too trigger happy to take off and running. And same with Creel. Creel's a phenomenal runner. I think he's much better running than Wimsatt. But same thing. Be patient in the pocket. Let the play develop. And if it's not there, then take off. Use your legs because they are phenomenal. I think we'll be fine. I just want to see improvement because Delaware is the real deal. I know it's going to be at home in 2 weeks and under the lights and on national TV and everything, but Delaware is a very good football team. Took Western Kentucky to the wire. And we by no means need to overlook that, or by no means need to, I don't think we need to find ourselves looking ahead. We just keep improving, keep improving. That's the name of the game for this week. Just keep improving. Other than that, we'll talk to you guys. I'm 99.9% sure after a Jack State win come Thursday, and we'll talk to y'all then.